morning, early birds. You've caught the Worm, a podcast from Yellowstone Public Radio, rounding up reporting from our newsroom and Montana Public Radio. Montana's fire outlook, how soap works to slow the spread of coronavirus, and difficulties in distributing federal housing relief. It's Tuesday, July 7th. I'm your host, Jess Sheldahl. Missoula's recent warm and dry conditions have prompted officials to push local fire danger from low to moderate. According to the Missoula County Fire Protection Association, that means outdoor debris burning season closes today. The association, made up of local, state, and federal fire agencies, says even though grasses still look green, dead forest fuels are rapidly drying out. Debris burning season closed last week in Flathead and Northern Lake counties. Open burning resumes there October 1st, or as conditions allow. The National Interagency Fire Center is predicting an above-normal fire potential in western Montana this summer. That has fire officials on edge. The global pandemic complicates firefighting work this year. Firefighting strategies used to protect property and resources will look different, as firefighters also try to protect themselves from COVID-19. Firefighters from the Crow Nation in south central Montana responded to a handful of wildfires sparked over the holiday weekend. Caitlin Nicholas reports.
Firefighters from the Crow Nation in south central Montana responded to a handful of wildfires sparked over the holiday weekend. Pinecone Fire, the largest 4th of July weekend fire in Bighorn County, burned over 32 acres of grass, brush, and timber in Montana's Sarpy Mountains. It was monitored from a helicopter and two fire engines by Crow Agency's Bureau of Indian Affairs Fire and Aviation crew. It has since been contained. John Cohn, the agency's information officer, says the past 3 years have seen more rain, which causes long grass to grow, which could be dangerous this summer.
The grass is really thick. There's going to be a lot to burn when it dries out here soon. Grass fires are more dangerous than forest fires. More people get burned on grass fires than on forest fires. The flames move so fast.
The Crow Agency BIA responded to 7 firework incidents over July 4th and 5th in Pryor and Crow Agency, as well as a trash fire in Lodgegrass. The Billings Interagency Dispatch Center has reported 11 wildfires since Friday. For YPR News, I'm Caitlin Nicholas.
Caitlin Nicholas is Yellowstone Public Radio's Report for America Tribal Affairs reporter. Lightning-caused fires kept wildland firefighters busy over the Independence Day weekend. The West Armels fire, 20 miles south of Forsyth, grew 86 acres yesterday night due to burnout effects and is now 480 acres and 80% contained. The lightning-caused fire started July 4th on private land, 20 miles south of Forsyth, and has been burning in timber and tall grass. 8 fire personnel from Rosebud County and 3 engines are continuing to mop up work and securing fire lines. The fire so far has cost an estimated $25,000 to fight. The Elk Creek Fire is another lightning-caused fire burning on private land 28 miles southwest of Miles City. This fire started the end of June, is being fought by Custer County fire personnel, and is estimated at 174 acres. And the 10-acre lightning-caused South Fork Fire that started on Sunday southwest of Lame Deer was reported contained as of late yesterday morning. The U.S. Supreme Court has handed another blow to the disputed Keystone XL pipeline from Canada by keeping in place a lower court ruling that blocked a key permit for the project. However, Monday's order also put on hold the lower court ruling as it pertains to other oil and gas pipelines across the nation. The Trump administration had argued the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers permit program that has been in place since the 1970s was functioning properly when it was canceled by a Montana judge in April. Critics argued the program allows pipeline companies to skirt responsibilities for damage to water bodies. Kalispell Regional Healthcare is expected to acquire the Marias Medical Center and other facilities in the Shelby area. Montana Public Radio's Aaron Bolton reports Toole County commissioners voted late last month to accept a multi-million dollar deal.
Toole County put out a request earlier this year for a larger medical company to take over its county-run medical center and other facilities. Both Benefis Health System, based in Great Falls, and Kalispell Regional Healthcare put in proposals, but commissioners ultimately decided to go with KRH, as first reported by the Shelby Promoter. The proposal approved by commissioners says Kalispell Regional Healthcare plans to run the Marias Medical Center, Marias Care Center, Heritage Center, and Britton House. KRH Chief Expansion Officer Cindy Morrison says the deal could be closed by the end of the year.
So what will happen now is we will go through several months of due diligence. And basically what that is that's a deeper dive into all types of information about Marias Medical Center.
Morrison says the plan is to expand services at the Marias Medical Center, though those specifics still need to be hashed out. KRH's proposal also notes that it's in preliminary talks with medical facilities in Conrad and Cutbank in hopes of forming a more regional healthcare system. Aaron Bolton, Montana Public Radio News.
Montana health officials reported another 121 confirmed COVID-19 cases from Saturday through Monday, marking one of the state's highest three-day totals since the pandemic began. Health officials announced 39 additional cases on Saturday, 45 on Sunday, and 37 on Monday, pushing the total since the pandemic began to over 1,200 cases. The number of infections is thought to be far higher because many people have not been tested, and studies suggest people can be infected with the virus without feeling sick. Health officials in Missoula will decide Thursday whether to make face masks mandatory in public places to reduce the spread of the disease, making it the latest locality to consider rules that exceed the state's. As COVID-19 cases continue to rise, health officials urge people to practice social distancing to slow the spread of coronavirus. One of the simplest ways to keep yourself and others safe is washing your hands with soap and water. Wet your hands, add soap, lather for at least 20 seconds. Make sure to get suds on every part of your hands, rinse and dry. Since the start of the coronavirus pandemic, state and federal health officials have advocated for more frequent hand washing. But how does soap actually work? Rachel Brower, co-owner of Rock Creek Soaps in Billings, says nothing's better than soap to remove dirt, bacteria, and viruses like the coronavirus from your hands.
Everybody's like, sanitizers. They're great. We have sanitizers too. Sanitizers, when you spray on your hands, it will render viruses inert. But it doesn't remove them from your skin. They're still there. Gross, right?
Soap molecules have two ends, like a magnet. One side is hydrophobic, while the other is hydrophilic, meaning one side hates water, but the other loves it. When a person uses soap to wash their hands, the hydrophobic side of the molecule attaches to the coronavirus or other bacteria and grime. When that person rinses their hands, the hydrophilic side attaches to water, taking the virus with it down the drain. According to the American Cleaning Institute, soap was invented as early as 2800 BC, but in 2020, it's still one of the most effective tools in combating the spread of COVID-19. Montana health officials say staying home if sick, using a face covering while in public, and cleaning frequently touched objects and surfaces can also help prevent the spread of COVID-19. For YPR News, I'm Jess Sheldahl. It's the start of the month, which means housing payments are due for many Montanans. Amid the economic fallout of the novel coronavirus pandemic, there doesn't yet appear to be large spikes in evictions or foreclosures, but Kevin Trevlin reports state officials are still having trouble distributing federal housing relief dollars to the people who need them.
Janelle Rose started a cleaning business in October. The Missoula resident says it was going well until the pandemic began. Clients are starting to schedule cleaning appointments again, but Rose still feels the consequences of losing her income in April and part of May. She has a mortgage, and each new month has brought another bill to worry about.
I'm already behind. I mean, I'm just behind. I don't get any unemployment. I don't get anything. So I'm scared.
In May, Montana launched the Emergency Housing Assistance Program funded by the Federal Coronavirus Aid, Relief, Economic Security, or CARES Act. Part of the law provides rent and mortgage payments for people who lost their job or substantial income because of the coronavirus. As of Monday, more than 1,400 Montanans have applied for the program, which can provide up to $2,000 per month based on income and housing costs. 278 applicants have been approved, while 296 have been rejected. Another 70 applications were withdrawn or found to be duplicates. Rose submitted her paperwork June 5th and is among the hundreds of people who haven't been approved or rejected. She says she's emailed state employees several times per week, but hasn't heard anything for most of June.
Just frustrating because no one will answer me. I don't know why they won't answer.
The state has until December 30th to spend federal CARES Act money. So far, Montanans have received about $498,000 of the $50 million earmarked for housing assistance. Amy Hall, a senior attorney with the Montana Legal Services Association, has heard from several applicants.
You know, the whole purpose of this Emergency Housing Assistance Fund is to get money into the hands of housing providers or mortgage servicers so that folks don't lose their homes. And that needs to happen quickly for it to be effective. So it is pretty discouraging.
The State Department of Commerce, which is running the housing program, sourced about 40 employees from a handful of state agencies to review applications. Division Administrator Cheryl Cohen says many of them are working half-time on housing assistance paperwork in addition to their normal duties. She says another 15 temporary full-time workers are being trained for the job. Cohen says gathering all the necessary information from applicants, landlords, and mortgage servicers has led to the backlog in the program.
A lot of the applications we're receiving are incomplete, and so it's that additional back and forth that's taking longer.
But the bottleneck may also lie with landlords. Cohen says the state hasn't heard from about 60% of those listed on relief applications.
We really are just seeking landlords' assistance to complete a W-9 so we can, you know, be able to make a payment to them on their renter's behalf. So that's probably one of our biggest challenges.
Though still in effect for certain populations, Governor Steve Bullock's general eviction moratorium expired late May.
We are seeing messages from applicants that, you know, they're getting more anxious, their landlords are getting more anxious, and so that's why we really want to prioritize getting these applications reviewed and approved quickly to prevent evictions from occurring.
But Cohen says people are paying their rent at nearly the same rate this year as last year. State data also suggests unemployment is dropping and personal income is rising this quarter, thanks to federal benefits. Libby Starling with the Federal Reserve Bank of Minneapolis says all of those data points indicate widespread evictions aren't yet taking place. She's surprised renters across the U.S. have mostly continued to pay their rent, but says that might change when federal unemployment benefits providing $600 per week expire July 31st.
I think we'll really start to see the effects of that in September, unless there is federal action by then that extends the additional resources.
Starling says there is currently concern in the mortgage market. Late mortgage payments more than doubled in Montana to 5.3% between January and May. Unlike the 2008 housing crisis, however, Starling says lenders are currently getting creative to avoid foreclosures.
Because foreclosure causes significant financial impact, not just on the homeowner, but also on communities and the housing system overall.
Starling says homeowners nationally and in Montana are temporarily postponing mortgage payments through forbearance. That's what Missoula resident Janelle Rose did in late April for the home she shares with her son. But Rose says she still needs to pay insurance and property taxes through her mortgage. She says she was denied federal unemployment and has had issues in an ongoing effort to navigate Montana's system for the self-employed. Rose is grateful for the housing assistance program, but says she needs resolution on her pending application.
I will lose my home eventually if I don't get help. That's how serious it is.
In the meantime, she continues to check her email inbox every day. Kevin Trevelin, Yellowstone Public Radio News.
And that's what's happening in Montana today. Check in with Montana Public Radio's Montana Evening News for updates on the news of the day. For Yellowstone Public Radio News, I'm Jess Sheldahl. We'll have another episode of The Worm for You, Early Birds, tomorrow morning.
The Worm is produced by Jess Sheldahl for Yellowstone Public Radio. Theme music composed and recorded by Zach Jones at Rapscallion Recording. Meadowlark Call captured by Jay McGowan for the Macaulay Library. Partial funding for The Worm is provided by the Greater Montana Foundation, encouraging communication on issues, trends, and values of importance to Montana. More information about The Worm is available at ypradio.org.